Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android App Store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Everybody wants to talk about it. Be here over these next few weeks, so that way you can hear God's truth. Invite your friends, invite your coworkers, invite your family members. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So with that being said, we're finishing up this series today called Begin Again. And this whole series has been about how through Jesus you can experience new beginnings. That it doesn't matter what your life has looked like previously in a previous year. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your background. That through Jesus you can have new beginnings. It doesn't matter your sin. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus offers us new beginnings. He is the God of new beginnings. Amen, somebody. Like, that's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of all of Scripture, is that we can experience some new beginnings. And so if you've missed any part of this series, I would encourage you guys to go online or download our app from the App Store, the Bridge Church app, find our logo, and you'll be able to listen to all of our previous messages up there, so you can kind of get caught up and just kind of hear what God has been doing here in our church for the past few weeks. But today, I want to end this series kind of realigning and really kind of cementing this series in just a few words. So if you're taking notes today, I'm simply calling this message, you can begin again when Jesus is at the center. You can begin again when Jesus is at the center. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 39 through 42, and here, 38 through 42. And here, there's an interesting story here that is one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible, because I think it gives a great illustration of how Jesus should be the center of our lives, but oftentimes he's not. And here, I'm going to walk through this passage of Scripture in a moment. But just to kind of open it up, I want to read just these few verses, and then we'll keep going from there. It says this: while they were traveling, Jesus, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary." Everybody say one thing. Come on, say it loud. Everybody say one thing. But one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. You can begin again when Jesus is at the center. As I mentioned, this series has been all about how you can start over and how Jesus gives you new beginnings. But there's a characteristic that comes as a result of Jesus giving you these new beginnings that I really want us to understand today more than anything else. And it's this: that you can begin again when he is at the center of your life. And that's the thing that I love about the message of what these guys were sharing, is that it speaks to how Jesus is really to be the center of our lives, and as a result of him being the center of our lives, we see our lives beginning to take shape that look like Jesus. And the reason why this is so important is because whatever you focus on will be reflected in the quality of your life. The focal point of our lives impacts the quality of our lives. And that's important, because more often than not, we focus on the wrong things in life. Like, we have the wrong things at the center of our lives. I actually wanted to share a picture with you guys to kind of help draw this illustration out even more. It's this picture of the iceberg. And if you see the top of the iceberg, you'll notice that on the top, it's considerably smaller than on the bottom. Now, when you're sailing on the water, you don't see the bottom, you just see the top. And when you and I are more than likely on a boat or a cruise line, you don't want to see that coming at you, that's for sure. You see that, I'm like, man, that thing is humongous. That's huge. That's a big deal. Not compared to what's beneath the surface. What's beneath the surface is really what's a big deal. And the correlation I'm going to draw here is what's on the surface is the surface things of our life. It's the external things of our life. It's the natural things of our life. But really where we need to put the most emphasis is not what's on the surface, but it's what's beneath the surface. If I could put it in terms like this, on the surface is the natural. Beneath the surface is the spiritual. But more often than not, we spend our lives focusing on the natural, neglecting the spiritual, not realizing that it's the spiritual that drives the natural. So like if I focus all of my attention on only what I can see, rather than what's beneath it and what's behind it, which is the spiritual aspect, then my life will always be lacking. My life will always be unfulfilled. The things that you see on the surface of your life are simply a result of what's happening in your life spiritually. If you want this year, 2018, to be the best year of your life, it can be the best year of your life only if it's the best year of your life spiritually. Only if it's the best year of your life spiritually. And I know we've made goals. And I know we've set out to do incredible things, right? Like, we got all these things that we want to do. That's awesome. But if you don't put the most emphasis of your life on making sure that your life is in alignment with Jesus, the spiritual things of your life, all this other stuff will not matter. Your life will look the same as it may have looked previously. But there's good news. Your life this year can be the best year. You can begin again when Jesus is at the center. When Jesus is the focal point of your life. And that's kind of what you see happening here in this passage of scripture that we read earlier in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Because you have this account of Jesus' interaction with two people that he's pretty close to. Two women by the name of Mary and Martha. Their brother was also is Lazarus, and many of us may be familiar with them. But these are some of the closest people that Jesus had a relationship with. But it's interesting because in this passage of scripture, you kind of see an interesting dichotomy. Because what the emphasis of this passage is it's all about how they view Jesus. It's all about the importance of Jesus in their lives. Here's the main point of this passage of scripture. Here's the main point of my message today. That Jesus needs to be the center of our lives. And here is the temptation, y'all. The temptation that all of us face, myself included, is to make other things more important than we make Jesus. So we make our careers more important than Jesus. We make our finances more important than Jesus. We make the good things that God has given us more important than God himself. We make our marriage more important than him. We make our job more important than him. We make our finances more important than him. We even make maybe our health more important than him. We put our kids on a pedestal that only Jesus is supposed to occupy. But the thing that I want to call us to today, it's making Jesus the center of our lives, where he is the focal point of our lives. And if you're taking notes here, you can write this thing down, that Jesus being the center of our life, number one, it's about having the right posture. Matter of fact, if you got notes, you can write that down. Also, you can take notes in our actual church app. You can download the app from the App Store and follow along there by downloading the notes and filling in the blank. But the first thing is the posture. The posture. Let's look at verse 38 through 39. Here's what it says. It says, while they were traveling, Jesus and his disciples, they entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So here you have two types of postures. You have one posture that's distracted, being Martha. You have the other posture reflected in Mary, which is devoted. Notice what Mary's doing here. Jesus has showed up to Mary and Martha's home. Mary is, the Bible says, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And her sitting at the feet of Jesus is language to show that her life is postured in such of a way where it's all about Jesus, where she's listening to him. She's consumed by him. Like, her focal point is not on anything else that's happening around her. One of the things that our tight end from the Eagles, Zach Ertz, says, by the way, if you're looking for a team to vote for today and to choose to root for today, we got plenty of room in Eagles camp. But one of the things that he said that was so amazing that I love, man, and it almost literally brought me to tears. He says, my life, like, everything can be happening in my life that's crazy. My life can be falling apart. But man, when I'm focusing on Jesus, like, I got so much peace. And here what you see happening here in this passage of scripture, you have all these things that need to be done in the house. And that's what Martha's focused on.
But Mary, in the midst of all the things that she could be doing, notice what she's doing. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Her life is postured in such of a way where she can hear Jesus, receive from Jesus, focus on Jesus. It represents her trust solely being in Jesus. It's the posture of a student. It's the posture of a learner. It's the posture of a follower. Her attention was solely on Jesus. Her attention was on every single word that came out of Jesus' mouth. That was all she was thinking about. I don't know if you guys seen the movie that back in the day that Adam Sandler made called The Waterboy. How many of you guys have ever seen that movie before? It's one of my favorite movies. And one of the things that he said, his character said constantly in the movie was, Mama said, y'all remember that? Like people could be saying like facts, factual stuff, true stuff, but Mama said. So it doesn't matter what you say, because Mama said something differently. Mama said, y'all remember that? That's the type of affection that Mary has for Jesus. But Jesus said, it's all about Jesus, y'all. Mary was all about Jesus. She could have been all about a whole lot of other things that were going on. Important things, by the way. I'm not diminishing the things that needed to be done. I'm not diminishing other important matters in your life. I'm not saying that. But what consumes your life? What are you consumed by? Are you consumed by work? Are you consumed by your relationship? Are you consumed by yourself? Or are you consumed by Jesus? Are you posturing yourself to hear and listen to Jesus? Are you devoted to Jesus or are you distracted from Jesus? Martha was distracted. Mary was devoted. Let me say this in regards to Martha. Martha was doing a great thing for Jesus. Jesus came to the house. She knew Jesus loved to eat. Everywhere Jesus went, he ate. My type of savior. Just always wanted to eat. You know what one of the first things that he said when he rose from the grave? Do y'all got anything to eat? No, he literally said that. I love Jesus, man. He just loves to eat. Martha knew this. Mary knew this. Martha was busy like, hey, we got to get the crib ready. Jesus loves to eat. He's got a big appetite. That's a good thing. But let me say this. Let's be careful. Let me say this. And I want to make sure I get it right because I wrote it in my notes. Activity for Jesus does not replace intimacy with Jesus. What you do for Jesus is not more important than being with Jesus. And one of the things that's very dangerous, even for me as a pastor, is it's easy to equate activity for intimacy. It's easy to say, oh man, like I've worked on my sermon and I've, you know, and I've done this and I've done that and I'm preaching and I'm doing this. And it's easy to think that because I'm doing these things that I'm close to Jesus. No, that does not mean that's the case. Martha shows us this here. Here's a picture of intimacy versus busyness. I heard somebody say that busy is an acronym that stands for being under Satan's yoke. Just busy. You talk to people, hey, how's your life? Busy. And it's like they love it. Do you have any time that you spend with the Lord? Do you ever get any quality, transparent, you know, quiet time with God? Do you spend any time reading your word? Here's verse 39. I want to go back there really quick. Got about 10 minutes left, and then we'll wrap up. It says, she had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. Jesus comes to their house. Jesus is in their home. Follow me here. Jesus is in the home of Martha. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who created everything along with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. He is everything. He is in their house, but he is not the center of Martha's attention. Come on, y'all. Isn't that crazy? Like, what Martha was doing was a good thing. But Jesus is here. And he's not the center of attention. What is the principle I want to share here? That Jesus can be in your life, but not be the center of your life. If you're a follower of Christ here today, this could easily be you and I, where Jesus, you may know him, you may be a follower of Christ, you may in fact have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus, but he may not be the center of your life. The question that I'm asking you today is not do you know Jesus, but is he the center of your life. Jesus is going to be in your life, but not be the focal point of your life. The posture of my life should be focused on Jesus. Jesus should be the centerpiece of my life. He should have supremacy in my life. He is the top dog in my life. Everything stops and ends and begins and ends with Jesus. It is all shaped around Jesus. And if you're saying, Pastor, why do you keep saying the same thing? Because oftentimes we miss this. Like, we think, oh, yeah, I'm good with Jesus. Man, I read my Bible once a week. Oh, I do this and I do that. And notice that we equate our closeness with Jesus based upon what we do for Jesus. Mary's closeness with Jesus had nothing to do with what she was doing. It had everything to do with her being postured in such of a way to hear what Jesus wanted to give her. Is this making sense? That's what God is calling us to. I believe that one of the things that God wants us to be more intentional with as a church this year, as followers of Christ, individually, collectively, in our families, is that our lives will be ever consumed by Jesus. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the whole world actually revolves around Jesus. Here's what Colossians chapter 1 says. He is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus, the firstborn over all creation, talking about his resurrection. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth. He created everything, y'all. The visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. He is before, say it with me, all things. That means your mama, your daddy, your kids, your job, your career, your money, your retirement, everything. He is before all things. And by him, all things hold together. Key word there. All things hold together. Maybe your life is following apart because Jesus is not the center of it. Maybe the reason why your marriage is falling apart is because Jesus is not at the center of it. Maybe the reason why I'm struggling in certain areas is not just because I'm honoring God, but it's simply because he is not the centerpiece of my life. It also says this in verse 18, he is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, resurrection, so that he might come to have first place in everything. I don't know how much clearer the Bible has to be that Jesus is to be first place. He's to be the center. Here's what Matthew 22 says. Jesus replied, what the greatest commandment was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. All throughout scripture, you see the same exact theme that God is to be the center of all things, man. It's all about him. It's all about his will. It's all about what he wants to do through our lives. Martha's posture was one of a frantic posture. Mary's posture was focused. Martha was distracted by all of the things that she had to do. And many of us can walk through life distracted by all of these different things. I got to change the diaper here. I got to do this. I got to go to work and I got to take care of this and I got to take care of that. And we just find ourselves just kind of going around in circles of all of our tasks. And yet Jesus is sitting on the outside like, hey, would you just give me a shot? Would you just make me the center of your life? And when Jesus isn't the center of your life, it always leads to frustration in your life. Always. How can I prove it? Look at Martha's response. Notice what she said. It says she was distracted by her many tasks and she came up to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care? I think Martha had a little bit of hood in her. Lord! Right? Might be taking off earrings. Sucking the tea, rolling the eyes. Lord, got a hand on the hip. I've been cooking in this kitchen all day long. All day long. And you see my sister over here, she's just chilling at your feet, listening. Tell her to come help me. Oh, wait a minute. Now she bucking on Jesus. What? Do you know who you're talking to? Right. I remember one time, like, we were at the house, and I can't remember which one of the kids, only two of them talk, so it was one of the two. And one of them came up to us, and was just spazzing out because they weren't, they were supposed to be cleaning up. And I think it was Joe. I think he was cleaning up, Aubrey was cleaning up. They were supposed to all be cleaning up together. And so Joe was doing all the work, and then Aubrey, like, she's our child that likes to just get distracted by everything. Like, she could be in the middle of cleaning up, oh, look, a butterfly, you know, and just gets distracted, right? And so Joe came to me just snapping. Dad, she's not cleaning. Tell her to clean up. Oh, hold on, bro. are you talking to? Like, hold on. That's exactly how Martha came to Jesus. But Martha wouldn't have been frustrated if her posture would have been all about Jesus. Her posture was wrong. And Jesus speaks to that in the next few verses. Her posture was off. When Jesus is not the first place in the center of your life, it always leads to frustration. So what happens is you end up snapping on people. You become impatient. You need a Snickers bar because you just turned into a whole other person. Y'all remember that commercial? You're just like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with them today? Like everything is just terrible, and you start taking it out on people. You become passive aggressive, all these different things, and blaming people for what you're the cause of. Like, you're blaming people for the results as a response to you not having Jesus at the center. And then we got the nerve and audacity to even snap on God. God, why isn't this happening? He's like, I've been trying to make you realize that I'm supposed to be the center, but you don't really have me as the center. You kind of have me as a side piece. And a lot of times what happens is we treat Jesus like a side piece and are trying to figure out, why in the world am I not getting the results in my life that I'm looking for? And Jesus is like, man, would you just make me the center? Just make me the center. Like, would you just make me first place in this? In the video that we showed, we saw numerous players who have a posture of submission to Jesus where he's the center of their lives. And out of that, it leads to this next point that I want to get ready to wrap up with. It leads to practices. It leads to practices. Notice what Jesus says in verses 41 through 42. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice. Somebody say the right choice. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus said, Martha, you are distracted by so many things. And I believe that Jesus is saying the same thing to us today. Edwin, you are distracted by so many things. Yes, I know these are important. Yes, I know this is important. Yes, I know those are all important, but they're not more important than me. Yes, your job is important, but it's not more important than me. Yes, your relationship is important, but it is not more important than me. Yes, it is necessary for you to get rest on a weekend, but it is not more important than me. And a lot of times what happens is, man, our lives don't look like they could because we've made other things more important than Jesus. But look at Mary's response. She's sitting at his feet. She's listening. And Jesus commends her for that. Jesus says she has made the right choice and it will not be taken away from her. What is the right choice? A life that's centered on Jesus. And it results in her practices. It results in what she does. Her physical posture, which is simply a reflection of her heart posture. And when your heart is in alignment with Jesus, when your focus is in conjunction with who Jesus is, it results in a life and in practices that resemble that. In the words of the great philosopher, Allen Iverson, we're talking about practice, man. Practice. We're talking about what you do. This is the practical aspect of this message. The principle was the posture of my heart. The practical is now the day-to-day living. The daily practices, how I live my life, 9 to 5 at my job, how I live my life at home, raising kids, loving my spouse, how I live my life, how I treat my neighbors around me, how I live my life, how I treat the cashier who's taking forever to ring me up at the grocery store. Like, the practical aspect of my life, because Jesus was most important to her. It was evident in what she did, and it shaped what she did. Let me say it like this, that your posture, your practices always reflect your priorities. And if Jesus is the most important in your life, it will be evident in how you live your life. It will be shown in how you live. What she did flowed out of the priority that Jesus had in her life. Whatever is the most important thing in your life would dictate how you live your life. So if your relationship is the most important, it will have the greatest impact on your life. If your job is the most important, it will have the greatest impact on your life. And let me say this gently, and I'm saying this lovingly, y'all. We have to get away from the illusion that I gotta work, and continue to work, No, Jesus says, make me the center. But Pastor, you don't realize if I don't work this extra overtime, I'm not gonna have enough money to feed my family or to do this and to do that. And that is a very real question, and that is a very real reality. But what's also real is that if you honor God and if you set Him first in your life and keep Him at the center of your life, He will blow your mind in the things that He will do for your life. He will provide for you. He will make all the ends meet, but you got to keep Him at the center. You got to make Him most important, y'all. Jesus cannot be a side piece this year. He has to be the center. Jesus has to be the focal point of your life this year. I don't know if y'all remember those bracelets that came out back in the day, like in the mid, late 90s, the WWJD bracelets. Y'all remember those bracelets? Man, just Christian corny at his best. But I had one, man. And I remember my mom gave me one because around middle school, I was just wilding out and acting crazy. And she was like, you wear this bracelet. So just in case you begin to think about doing something crazy, you look down, what would Jesus do? Our lives are really to reflect that principle. Does this line up with who Jesus is? Does this reflect who Jesus is? Does this reflect the things that He wants me to do? Here's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Don't stop depending on yourself. Depend on Jesus. Seek His will in all you do. Last time I checked, in the Hebrew, all means all. All you do, and He will show you which path to take. Maybe part of the reason why we are confused and don't know which direction we are supposed to go in life is because Jesus is not the center of it. But He says, make me the centerpiece of your life. When it comes to Jesus, let me just be real. I've been in ministry for many years. I've been following Jesus for some years. I've been on the wrong track. I've been on the right track. And here's oftentimes how we live our lives. I got two pictures that I want to show us right now. We oftentimes live our lives really in one big way, but then I'm going to kind of go and show you the next one. But oftentimes we compartmentalize our relationship with Jesus. So this is how we live our life more often than not, right? And so Jesus is over here off to the side. Jesus is church and being a part of the body of Christ. Like I do the church thing, but then I do my own thing with my finances. I do my own thing with my friends. I do my own thing when it comes to work. He's not the center of that. I do my own thing when it comes to family. I do my own thing when it comes to intellect. But you notice how it's all disjointed? Do you notice how it's all disconnected? Jesus is here off to the side. So here's what this looks like. I went to church on Sunday, but the next 6 days, that's me. I got my own thing popping off. I got my own thing going on. And so we live these compartmentalized lives. And this is very prevalent in what is called the Bible Belt area, which is the area that we're in, where there's churches on every corner, all the way from Virginia down to Florida, out a little bit to the Midwest and Alabama and all those different, Georgia and those different type of areas. In these areas, we do an incredible job at compartmentalizing our faith. So Jesus doesn't influence our finances. We don't let Him influence how we work. We don't let Him influence the friends that are closest to us. We don't let Him influence how we approach things and how we think. We don't let Him influence our family. No. We compartmentalize all this stuff. So in other words, it's like, I can trust you, Jesus, to save my soul, but I can't trust you to take care of my needs. Ain't that crazy? We compartmentalize our life. I read my Bible today. I went to church, so I'm good. Right? Like, Jesus, I did my thing, but my finances, you can't touch that. MC Hammer style. Can't touch that, Jesus. No. As a matter of fact, studies have shown that the average Christian gives 2% of their income to the church. How gross is that? How gross is that to the one who spilled out all His blood on the cross for us? We should be the most generous, open-armed people in the world. It shouldn't be an issue for us to give our finances to the local body of Christ so that way more people can come to know Jesus. How gross and sick is that? But when we compartmentalize our lives, that's how it looks. But here's the type of life that Jesus wants us to live. This is a Jesus-centered life. Next diagram. Here's what we call the integrated life. This is a life when Jesus is at the center. So he impacts how I serve in ministry. He impacts how I relate to people, my outer life. He impacts how I view myself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. He views all of that, my inner life, the things that I do that people don't see. He shapes my character, the systems of the world, how I relate to work and government and all those type of things, to the people of this world, people who don't know Jesus. He shapes how I relate to them. To the things of this world, to possessions of this world. My view of God's word, he shapes it. How I view God, like he shapes all of that. My prayer life, my family life, Jesus shapes all of that. When Jesus is at the center, all of those things function the way they are supposed to function, but oftentimes they don't. They're dysfunctional. It's because Jesus isn't at the center. Jesus' desire is that he would be at the center of every aspect of our life. That no matter what we do, no matter how we live, all the things that we do come back to God, is this your will? And I only want to have you at the center of everything that I do. So when it comes to dating, we're going to talk about this next week or over the next few weeks. What's your go-to method when it comes to choosing somebody to date? Is it, oh, they look good. Do you pray about it? Let me give a quick little relationship tip. You know, this is next week, but let me give a quick relationship tip. If you want to know how to save yourself from some heartache and some heartbreak, pray about the person that God wants you to be with. Don't just choose them. It's real quiet right now. Pray about them because God knows what's best. When Jesus is at the center, man, life gets so much easier. So he shapes my finances. He shapes how I serve. He shapes my health, all of that, my health, everything. There's a book that I've kind of taken a few of our leaders in our church through recently and kind of still walking through it, called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. I would encourage every person in here to get this book, whatever your reading preference is, Kindle, hard copy, whatever. Get this book, because in this book, it talks about how we oftentimes like to compartmentalize our relationship with God when Jesus is supposed to be at the center of our life. No, man. I want this to be the year where we say, Jesus, it's all about you. Everything is all about you. How I raise my kids, I want to raise my kids in a way that's reflective of your love. How I love my spouse, I want to love my spouse, love my wife the way Christ loves the church. Everything comes back to you. Can I get a good amen? That's what it's about. Where Jesus is at the center. This year, let us make Jesus the center. Let us let him shape how we view people. Let us no longer view people from a worldly lens, from a cultural lens. Let us view people through the lens of Christ. We give our all to God through faith in Jesus, because Jesus gave his all for us on the cross. That's why we do this. And we want to make him the center. And here's the good news, y'all. Even if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, Pastor, man, this is convicting. This is kind of challenging me. Because when I look at my life, man, I haven't made Jesus the center. He's not really the center of our marriage. And I've talked to so many couples through the years who have had so many difficulties in their life. And it always comes back to one big thing, because Jesus wasn't at the center. I've talked to many people who have struggled in certain areas of their life, whether it's financially or whatever, emotionally. And as I kind of talk with them, it becomes clear that Jesus wasn't at the center. Now, by all means, I'm not saying, please don't think that I'm saying that when Jesus is at the center, that everything is going to be perfect. No. That doesn't mean that. But it means that when Jesus is at the center, he's the one holding things together, not you. That it revolves around him, that it's all about him. It's not about us. There's a song that we typically sing every now and then that says, Jesus at the center of it all. It's an amazing song because it captures the essence of this passage of scripture. Mary was focused on Jesus. Martha wasn't doing a bad thing. The priorities were off. She was doing a good thing, but she missed the most important thing. Man, you're working. You're killing it at work, man. You're working like crazy. Keep doing it. But don't make that more important than Jesus. Man, you're an awesome husband. You're an awesome wife. You're an awesome parent. Like, for real, man, you're doing an incredible job. But don't make that more important than Jesus. Like, God has blessed you financially. That's awesome. Man, that's great. But don't make your finances more important than Jesus. That's what God would want you to do with that. if you want this year to be the best year of your life, it will be the best year when you make Jesus the center of it. And as we end this 21 days of prayer and fasting, I think that this is the perfect way for us to end it, where we are renewing essentially the vow that we've made if we're a follower of Christ, to follow Jesus, where we repent of having Jesus in our home, but him not being the center of it. No, today we say, Jesus, you are the center of it all. Amen. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, here's a question I want to ask us today. And I appreciate you for kind of hanging with us today. We went a little bit over time, but I felt like God is speaking to us about this, because this is something that he wants of us. Will you make Jesus the center of your life? Even if you are a follower of Christ, maybe you have drifted, maybe you have gotten off track, here's the good news for you, my brother, my sister, is that today you can come back. Today you can get it right. Today all you got to do is yield to Jesus and say, Jesus, it's all about you. I want you to lead my life. I want you to shape my relationships. I want you to shape my daily decision-making abilities. It's all about you. And also, if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, like, I've never given my life to Christ and I'm far from God, I don't have a relationship with him, but today I want to come into his family. Today I want to make a decision to give Jesus my life. If that's you and you're ready to do that today, you are making the greatest decision that a person could ever make. And if that's your desire, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave so that I could have new life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together. If you want Jesus to be the center of your life, it's all about that this morning. Amen. So here's what I'm going to ask us to do as we prepare to go. And once again, thank you for hanging with us a little bit longer. We went a little bit over time today, but I believe it has been well spent and that God is doing a work in us. But if you made a decision to give Christ your life this morning, if you pray that prayer, I want you to take that connection card out that we gave you when you walked in. I want you to check the box that says, I'm giving my life to Christ today. I'm committing my life to Christ. And drop that in the bucket. In a moment, we're going to worship God with our giving. We're going to pass a few buckets around.